If you can turn with me, please, in God's Word to Genesis chapter 41. Just for the context, I had planned maybe to read the first 16 verses. Just to help there with the context and different things, and pray that that will be a help to you. As we said in the story, we're flicking back and forth in the story, going from one part to the other part to get the overall picture of what is happening here. And so we pray that God will give us help. Genesis 41, verse 1. "And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed a dream. And behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favoured kine, and fat-fleshed, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favoured and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favoured and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favoured and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept and dreamed the second time, and behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon 1 stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears, and blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and put me inward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew servant, to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself, and changed his raiment, and came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. 2 years after his birthday feast, King Pharaoh dreamed one dream, but in 2 parts. In our last study, we noted Pharaoh's anxiety and Pharaoh's advisors. The dream that Pharaoh had left him troubled, no peace. He was anxious. Furthermore, he turned to his advisors, his counselors, the magicians of Egypt, and all the wise men. Yet none of them could give the interpretation. None could give Pharaoh an answer of peace that he needed. The reason being, the carnal mind is at enmity or war with God. The carnal mind cannot interpret God's message aright, because God is not in all their thoughts. Whenever man seeks to give answers relating to events that relate to Bible matters, he will always find every other reason except going back to the author of Scripture and the Creator. Man will always try to seek to find any other answer apart from God. And so in this case, they just say there's none that can interpret. This is too hard to interpret. The Lord said in John 3, verse 6, That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Therefore, Pharaoh needs God's message delivered, but not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 5 and verse 9, we learn that God works according to the good pleasure of his will, to bring about his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. And therefore, all that God does in creation and among his creatures is for his own glory and his pleasure, all centering upon redemption through Jesus Christ. And we must not lose sight of that theme in the life of Joseph. Because remember, God, through the whole life of Joseph, and even in every situation that we may humanly think has gone pear-shaped or something's gone wrong, above it all and over it all, God is in control, and everything is working out to the purpose of his own will. God has a purpose. God has a plan that's being put into place. God has chosen Joseph as the preserver of the nation of Israel, and in particular the tribe or seed line of Judah, because that is the line to which Christ will be born. And that later was fulfilled in Matthew chapter 1 and 2 and Luke chapter 1 and 2. And so back in Joseph's day, the nation must be preserved. A famine is coming, and so the nation must be preserved. They must be protected. Joseph at this stage was in prison. And then Pharaoh has this dream. And then after he is told of Joseph, and then Joseph is brought out with him, and then Joseph is then exalted to a place of authority. And in that place of exaltation, in that place of authority, Joseph is then able to provide not only for the Jewish nation, but the surrounding Gentile nations that come to Joseph in a time of famine. And again, there's a wonderful picture of redemption in Christ, the great provider, preserver of his people. You both have among that both Jew and Gentile, a people called unto himself for redemption. And so there is a people from Jew and Gentile that have been saved from wrath to come, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so through it all, we have this wonderful gospel picture of nations and others coming around to Joseph to find provision. And we'll look at that in more detail in the next number of messages. But regarding Pharaoh's dream, we learned of his anxiety and we learned of his advisors. Notice also, thirdly, Pharaoh's action. When Pharaoh dreamed his dream, the first course of action he took was to seek his advisors. However, the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men, they couldn't interpret the dream. And so Pharaoh remained troubled. It was then God providentially moved again. And the chief butler in verse 9 remembered his faults, or as the word translates, sins, in forgetting Joseph. And then having confessed his faults, having confessed his sins, he seeks to put the wrong right. And he begins to tell Pharaoh of Joseph. And again, those words are in verses 12 down to verse 13. There was with us a young man, an Hebrew servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream, he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and to him he hanged. You can imagine Pharaoh hearing this confession and then hearing this news about a man named Joseph, a man he has never heard of before, and yet a man clearly that he needs. And surely from a human viewpoint, as King Pharaoh listens to this butler about this man in prison, there are many reasons why Pharaoh could and maybe should have refused to hear the butler. And yet we're glad and rejoice under God's providential movings that God moved in such a way that Pharaoh recognized that he needed to meet this man, Joseph. And Joseph was brought and Joseph interpreted the dream. But everything that that butler has said regarding Joseph and that he says to Pharaoh, there's a wonderful lesson in it because it leads to a greater than Joseph. We see again another picture of Christ in his role as our Redeemer, as our prophet, our priest, and our king. All these things that the butler mentioned to Pharaoh, Pharaoh could have dismissed them all. But the reason why he couldn't, because the one who were there, they were being spoken about, was the one whom he needed. And so notice, the butler spoke of Joseph's age and inexperience. He said, there was with us a young man. Verse 48, or 46, we learn that Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh. And so remember, so Joseph then in prison would have been 28. Now 2 years later, he is now 30 when he stands before Pharaoh. And you can imagine Pharaoh listening to this, King Pharaoh. He's had all his wise men, all his magicians. They can't say anything. He has the best minds of his day. And yet he hears about a young man in prison. You can imagine Pharaoh thinking this young man would be inexperienced. What wisdom, what knowledge would this man have compared to all my wise men, the best of minds in my day? Pharaoh had every reason to say, do you know what? Joseph is just unwise. He is just too young. And therefore, to put him aside and to think he could never deliver a message, he could never give him the answer that he needed. No one else could do it. So why would this young man in prison be able to do such a thing? He would not have as much wisdom as my own men. And again, we learn of Joseph as a man full of wisdom. Later on, as we look at down the chapter, Pharaoh acknowledges that Joseph is a wise man. He is a discreet man above all the men in Egypt. There was none like unto Joseph. He was that wise man, and he was the one that Pharaoh needed. And so again, don't we see a picture pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the wisdom of God? Remember Luke chapter 2, the Lord Jesus Christ is in the temple, age 42. He is 12 years old. And what is this 12-year-old doing? Well, he is simply, in verses 46 to 47, sitting in the midst of doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And so what a wonderful picture there of Christ, who is the one with all wisdom, the one who has the answer. I say to you, men and women, like Pharaoh, he turns to all others. But I say when he hears of a man named Joseph, that's the one he needs. And men and women, young people, you may seek to think, I need other things in life. But I say to you, what you need above all is the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the wisdom of God, wisdom for salvation, wisdom to live for God, to make right decisions. May again, I also apply it to the young people. Because what a challenge for young people. Let no man despise thy youth. Joseph was just a young man. And there, and how he was used by God. And so young people, God is able to use you. God is able to use your life. I encourage you in learning and getting wisdom in different things that comes from God. Learn your shorter catechism. Move on to the larger catechism. Move on to the Westminster Confession of Faith. Learn them. But above all, read the Scriptures, because these things are founded upon Scripture and they will help you grow in grace. When Christ began his public ministry as our prophet, priest, and king, though he always was, but when he began officially his public ministry, after his baptism, Luke chapter 3, verse 23 records he was 30 years old. And so Joseph, we will learn, as he begins his rule, as he begins his rule of authority, he is 30 years old. And Christ carried out his work as our sacrifice. He is the one who is our prophet, our priest, and our king. The one who came to fulfill the will of God, who came to give the message of God, who came to offer himself a sacrifice for sin, the one who came to rule and reign in the lives of his people. Remember the Levite priests in the Old Testament. They began their priestly ministry at the age of 30. Numbers chapter 4, verse 3, also verses 23, 30, 35, 39, 43, and 47. From 30 years old and upward until 50 years old, all that enter into the host to do the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. And so there's Joseph, just a young man. He stands before Pharaoh at the age of 30. And then later he's exalted. He begins to rule over the nation. He begins to fulfill those responsibilities given to him by God. And so we think of Christ as well, at the age of 30, begins to fulfill those roles as the prophet, priest, and king in order to secure redemption for his people. And therefore, young person, God is willing to use your life for that purpose that he has saved you for and called you for, to be a burning and shining light for him. The butler also spoke of Joseph's association and identity. He is an Hebrew. The Egyptians, being Gentiles, they were heathens, and they had their own gods whom they worshipped. The Gentile nations despised the Jews, as they still do. And making the point that Joseph is an Hebrew only set him apart, not only nationally, but also spiritually. The phrase Hebrew would have singled him out as one who worshipped Jehovah, the everlasting God, the true and the living God, the God of heaven and earth. And therefore, when Pharaoh heard of this Hebrew, straight away he knows, here's one who does not worship the same God as I do. Again, later this difference is marked out under a different Pharaoh, a new Pharaoh after Joseph dies. In Exodus chapter 11, verse 7, during the times of Moses, we learn the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And what was that difference? It was worship to God upon the ground of a sacrifice, upon the ground of redemption. And so God's own people came to worship him upon the ground of redemption, upon the everlasting covenant of grace. There was that offer up to God that he would keep his covenant promise and redeem his people, bring them out of bondage. But the Egyptians, they had their own gods, their many gods. And so the very fact that he hears about this man, Joseph, this young man, he's a Hebrew. Well, there's one who worships not my gods, not my idols, but he's the one who worships that Jehovah. Again, remember Abraham. The name goes back to Genesis 14, verse 13. Abraham, the Hebrew. Abraham was that one, Genesis 3 teaches, he believed the gospel, for it was preached unto him. Abraham was justified by faith alone, in Christ alone. And Abraham worshipped God through Christ. You think in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, coming now to the Gentiles, these wise men, they have seen the star, and they come to worship Christ, who is king. You think now of Pilate upon the death of Christ in Matthew 27, verse 37. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And so Christ is the King of all his people, both Jew and both Gentile. But taking that name, Hebrew, that name, Pharaoh had every reason to cast him aside and not to pay any attention to him. The butler also spoke of Joseph's assessment and imprisonment, because the butler then said, he is a servant to the captain of the guard. And so Joseph, remember, we've looked at this already, he was a servant, a slave to Potiphar. And Potiphar worked for Pharaoh. And so in Pharaoh's mind, this man, Joseph, he's in prison. He is an Hebrew. And the very fact he's in prison, put there by Potiphar and for those that there, then obviously he is liable. He's guilty. There's no good who can come from this man. Why? Why should I listen to this man who's young, who is a Hebrew, who is in prison by my chief guard? A chief guard who I depend upon to do his duties. If he's put him in prison, why should I pay attention to him? Nothing good can come from this man. You think of Christ, the servant of God, who came to serve sinners by giving his life a ransom. Remember, Joseph in prison was serving the butler and the baker. Remember Nathanael. What did he say in John chapter 1, verse 46? Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. Come and see. Come and see this Savior. Come and see this Messiah. Come and see this man. Come and see this Redeemer. Come and see this mighty man of God. For he is the Savior. He is the Redeemer. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he was taken as that prisoner. He was sentenced to death. Christ upon the cross was there, not for any sin of his own, for he had none. But he died there as the legal representative and surety of all his people. And upon the cross, Christ was viewed and treated by God as guilty on behalf of his people. And God took all the guilt and all the sin of those he came. God took all the guilt and all the sin of all those whom Christ came to save, and made Christ accountable for it. He took responsibility for his own people, for all our iniquities were laid upon him. He died the just for the unjust. He came to pay our debt. And Christ bore all the sins of all his people from all ages on his own body on the tree. And you say, can any good thing come from Christ? I say eternal life, redemption. Notice the butler spoke of Joseph's ability and interpretation, because he said, we told him and he interpreted to us our dreams. And so Joseph had this ability to interpret the dreams of the butler and the baker. They had the dream. They didn't understand what it was, and they needed one to give the message. And so Joseph gave the message. And so Christ, as our prophet, has delivered and interpreted the message of God to show the way of salvation, to show the way to God. And so taking all this in account, there is every reason why Pharaoh should have refused Joseph. Every reason why Pharaoh should not have listened to the butler. But there was one reason why he couldn't refuse him. And that was because Joseph was the one he needed. Joseph was the answer to his problem, his situation. Only Joseph was the one who could give the message of God aright. And upon hearing this man, Joseph, and upon hearing what he has done for others in his ministry, his ability, his wisdom to interpret the dreams, to give the message of God, Pharaoh recognizes, I need Joseph. And he then sent for him and called for him, and they brought him out hastily. Pharaoh called for Joseph because he saw himself in great need. And there was one who could meet that need. Pharaoh couldn't meet it. the wise man in his day could not meet it. The magicians could not meet it. No one else could meet that need. Not even the butler. The butler couldn't even guess. You know, the butler could have done what people do today. Well, you know what? I heard Joseph interpret my dream. Maybe I'll just say the same thing and just give that interpretation. No. Only Joseph could give the message. And so Pharaoh turned from the wisdom of men and turned to the best that he needed. And that was Joseph. And Joseph gave the message that God had for him. There's one that Joseph, or that Pharaoh heard of. And he learned that he was the one he needed. It was only when Pharaoh acknowledged that he was in trouble and in need, and that all others who he turned to could not help, it was only then he came and sought for Joseph. And again, see the wonderful picture in pointing to a greater than Joseph, our heavenly Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, believer, before salvation, we were as Pharaoh, troubled and needy concerning the message of God. It was only when the Holy Spirit convicted us by pointing and showing us by Christ's life and his death that he came to do the will of God to secure redemption for all who would trust in him. And then having heard faithfully the message of Jesus saves, we realized that none but Christ could help. We realized that if I'm ever to have my sin forgiven, I must get to Jesus Christ. But the Lord said in Mark chapter 2, verse 17, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And upon hearing the gospel, upon hearing that we were troubled in sin, upon hearing about our sin, we realized, and in hearing about Christ, we realized that we had no ability to save ourselves. We realized the church could not save. No one else could take away our sin, but there was one who could, and there was one who was willing, and there was one who was able, and that one was Jesus Christ, and we fled to him. Unsaved one, until you admit the message that you need sins forgiven, and admit that you are lost, troubled about your sin, and need to have your sins forgiven, you will never be cleansed from sin. You will never be forgiven of sin. Because if there's no accepting and no admitting, then you will never acknowledge that only Jesus Christ is able to save you. And you will not ask him to save you. Oh yes, you will still try to find other ways. You will still try to find other solutions. But I say to you, you must come like Pharaoh and realize upon hearing about Joseph and upon hearing about Christ, only he has the answer that you need. Acts chapter 10, verse 43. And through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission or forgiveness of sins. Pharaoh was told about Joseph, who he was and what he had done. And based on that testimony, Pharaoh called for Joseph to receive an answer of peace. And therefore, unsaved one today, based on who Christ is and all that Christ has done, and based upon the testimonies of sovereign grace in this room, you too must flee to Jesus Christ. You too must call for Christ to come and to save you, to wash away your sin, to take away your sin. Because in Christ is full salvation. In Christ is the answer of peace that you need. Pharaoh's action. But notice finally and briefly, because this will really continue on for the other studies, but I'll just mention it in passing. Pharaoh's answer. We've looked at these different thoughts, his anxiety, He was troubled about this dream, this message. It really was a message from God. He went to his advisors, but none could give the message that he needed. And so the only action was to take was to seek help. And upon hearing about Joseph, he then calls for Joseph. And then he gets the answer. Verses 15 through to 16. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream. He comes and tells Joseph just as it is. And there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst interpret a dream. Understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph said to Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And so Joseph, as God's chosen servant, seeks to honor and to Joseph, as God's chosen servant, seeks to honor God and to glorify God. He lets Pharaoh know the message comes from God. And the message that he will deliver, this message of peace, it comes from God. Joseph himself, who had found faith in God, the God of all peace, he is able to give that message to the one who is weary, the one who is troubled. There's hope for Pharaoh. There's hope in God. There's a word for Pharaoh. There's a word in a time of need. And so we think of the Lord Jesus Christ, who seeks to honor God in his speech and in his service. There is hope for sinners. There's hope in a time of need. You read the Gospels, how Christ came to glorify God in his works and in his life and in his death. In his words, Christ himself is our peace. Christ is the sinner's perfect rest. He is the one who's purchased peace with God by the shedding of his own precious blood. And therefore the Lord Jesus Christ prayed in John 17, verse 4, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And then after that, he provided redemption for his people. And so Christ is the peace. He is the good tidings of great joy. He himself is the answer. He came to do the will of God. He came to give the message of God. And so God's peace is found through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Pharaoh, he receives this answer. Joseph tells him the answer comes from Pharaoh, or comes from God and delivered through Joseph. And he receives this answer of peace. And he's told what he must do to make preparation for the coming famine. And so, unsaved one today, there is coming judgment. And you must come like Pharaoh did to Joseph and simply tell the Lord as it is, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And Lord, you're the only one who can save. The church cannot save me. The preacher cannot save me. Even the wisest of Christians, and there's many, many wise Christians that you could mention, godly men. I just mentioned some from our own denomination. Even Dr. Douglas, godly men like him, not even he could save you. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can save. And Pharaoh comes to one whom he knows is able to give the answer. And I say to you, Jesus Christ can give you the answer for your trouble, for your sin, because he is the answer. And therefore, child of God, the message is for you. Just as Joseph still as a servant of God, he comes and presents the message to Pharaoh as the servant of God. And he seeks to glorify God. This message is God's message for you. So, child of God, Matthew 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Pharaoh had a dream, and we're glad he received the answer what he must do. You've heard the message, what you must do to give your life to Jesus Christ. A famine is coming in the days of Pharaoh. And he must be ready. And unsaved one today, a day of wrath, a day of judgment is coming. You must be ready. You must be prepared. And that is simply by trusting Christ as your Saviour. Child of God, continue to glorify God. Continue to be used by the Lord. For Joseph was used by God in giving the message of God. And so God is able to use you in sharing the message of redemption. May the Lord write his word upon our heart for his name's sake.